Well, some are saying thoughts and prayers are not enough. We need to take action, gun control legislation. My question is, have we really prayed?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've been hearing this a lot in the last 24 hours. Okay, great. Thoughts and prayers. Our prayers are with the victims and the families of the Vegas shooting. Our thoughts are with you. Thoughts and prayers are okay, fine, they're important, but what we need is new laws. What we need is Congress to take action. I've been hearing that. I'm going to share some quotes with you. I've got a bigger question, though. Fine. Have all the discussion we want about gun control and laws regarding that. Fine. Have whatever debates are relevant, fine. Save lives, however lives can be saved, fine. But have we really prayed? Have we really turned to God in any earnest way? Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. It's my joy to be with you and to serve in a redemptive way. There is so much flying around. I'm looking at some headlines here and just people not just politicizing things, but in the harshest possible ways. And here, Richard Dawkins, never known for particular sensitivity. Here's a headline: Richard Dawkins infuriates with great shooting tweet after Las Vegas attack. Here's what he tweets out: "Dern tootin', great shooting, cool dude, certain he's Second Amendment rights. Hell yeah. Every country has its psychopaths. In U.S., they have guns." People are politicizing the tragedy, politicizing the blood that is still on the ground in Las Vegas. And on our end, my goal is to be redemptive. On our end here on The Line of Fire, and for you, our listeners and our viewers, our goal is to be redemptive and to say, how can we respond? And what is God saying to us in the midst of this tragedy? Sarah Huckabee at the press conference yesterday, the White House press conference, was talking about some of the heroic acts of some of the people involved. Listen to what Sarah Huckabee Sanders had to say as she fought breaking down in tears.
The Gospel of John reminds us that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. The memory of those who displayed the ultimate expression of love in the midst of an unimaginable act of hate will never fade. Their examples will serve as an eternal reminder that the American spirit cannot and will not ever be broken.
Yeah, tough job to do that. And thankfully, she's touched by the pain and the suffering. You know, it's very easy for us to be so inundated with news. And I was praying about this myself. Lord, I'm not really affected by this the way I should be. This devastating news, we're so used to this kind of thing that we become hardened as well. But I want to be redemptive. I want to be positive. I want to lay something out of great importance because I believe as a nation, even as a church, we have not yet really cried out in prayer. Can I be honest? Sometimes if I say, hey, I'm praying, what I'll do is the moment I hear something, because I get an urgent email request or an urgent text, please pray, I'll stop right at that moment and pray. But then normally I go on with the rest of my day. I often forget. I have to remind myself. And I think a lot of us, when we say, yeah, my prayers are with you. Okay, my thoughts are, how are my thoughts being with you going to help you? Unless I'm really praying to God for you or unless I'm actually doing something. So this is what Mark Kelly, the husband of Gabby Giffords, said. She is herself a shooting victim, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. He said this: all we're hearing is thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are important. They are not enough. Your thoughts and prayers aren't going to stop the next shooting. Do you agree with that? And can prayer really save a sick America? Yeah, I'm glad my book has just come out. It's timely. America is very sick.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I've been doing wall-to-wall interviews on articles that I've written relative to what's happening in America right now. Interviews that are relative to my new book, Saving a Sick America, coming out. And where everyone starts is, here, we're sick. We're hurting. We are in pain. I have a question for you. Do you think we are ready for a great awakening in America? Do you think the church is ready? Do you think that we are sufficiently hungry and thirsty and desperate? Remember, when we talk about revival, when we talk about outpouring, when we talk about visitation, we're talking about a season of unusual divine visitation. We're talking about God coming and shaking things. We're talking about God coming with deep convicting power and deep life-transforming power. Let me ask you this. If you have just had your favorite meal of the year and eaten to the full, and you are ready to burst, and I now come with some dessert I know you like, do you want it? No. Why? Because you're full. Revival only comes to the hungry and to the thirsty. Awakening comes when we're at a point of desperation. Are we at that point? I noticed Xavier posted on our YouTube chat, I honestly feel like we are on the brink of a mighty move of God. I felt God had me write Saving a Sick America to write about the fall and rise of America, to say that we are in a very bad condition, but with God's grace, we can be raised up and our best days can yet be ahead. I just got a note from a major Christian leader who said, I believe our best days could be ahead, but are we anywhere near seeing awakening coming? Is there desperation in the church? Is there hunger? Is there thirst? Is there crying out among the people of God? What's your take? 866-348-7884. And is prayer, are we praying in a way that would make a difference? Or are we praying in a way that will actually turn the tide in America? You want to hear something jarring, really jarring? And Matt, grab clip number one. This is very intense. And I don't want us just to speculate. I want us to give this prayerful thought. And if you feel you have an insight, I welcome hearing it, all right? And again, if you're listening on the Facebook audio feed, you can weigh in with comments there. If you're watching on YouTube, the live stream on YouTube, you can weigh in with your comments there. And of course, as always, for everyone listening on radio and every other means, our phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. Are our prayers making a difference? Are we praying in such a way that they should make a difference? Are we ready for awakening and revival, or are we still just caught up in complacency and superficiality in the church? In other words, do our prayers, does the urgency of our prayers match the urgency of the moment? So check this out. Big and Rich, this is at the country music concert, 1 hour before the shooting in Vegas. This is what they were singing 1 hour before the shooting. Let's listen.
Sing God bless America. Man, that hallow, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
Oh, that's painful to watch. I don't know how you feel if you hear that, if you watch that. That's painful. I mean, the thought that those people singing that song an hour later, many of them will be dead, many others wounded. Is that how God responds to the singing of God Bless America? I'm sure there are some atheists and skeptics and believers now with questions who are asking that very thing. We sing God Bless America, and the next thing we're getting shot up. That's how God blesses America. Someone else would say, what are you talking about? In the midst of Las Vegas, where people are partying and prostitution is legal, the so-called Sin City, and they're having a, you know, a worldly concert. You're singing God Bless America. We're not ready to be blessed. But that's painful. Friends, this is reality. I've seen people on Twitter attacking my position that only God can heal our land, saying, well, where was God when this was happening? But I learned a long time ago that God comes where he's welcome. Oh, he moves. He does what he wants to do as God. But he doesn't just come barging in and taking up residence where we're not welcome. If we say to him, we don't want you away from me, it's not like he comes begging, oh, please let me in. We need him. He doesn't need us. He loves us dearly, but we need him. Have we humbled ourselves as a nation? Are we praying, Lord, your kingdom come? Or are we just praying, God bless America? I want to go to the phones in a moment. But in my article that came out today, Can Thoughts and Prayers Stop the Next Shooting? Can Thoughts and Prayers Stop the Next Shooting? I quote an article that William Federer wrote in 2010. He said this: to punish Massachusetts for the Tea Party, King George III decided to destroy its economy by blockading Boston's harbor on June 1, 1774. Thomas Jefferson, remember, not the most religious of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson drafted a resolution for a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. So just realize that Thomas Jefferson, who was one of the least religious of the founding fathers, believed in prayer and fasting. He drafted a resolution, quote, for a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer to be observed the same day. It was introduced in the Virginia House of Burgesses May 24, 1774, by Robert Carter Nicholas and supported by Patrick Henry, Richard Henry Lee, and George Mason, passing unanimously. All right, so there's going to be a blockade by King George. We're going to make that a day of prayer and fasting and humiliation. Humiliation, yeah, confessing our sins before God, humbling ourselves before God. And this is what the declaration said. This House, being deeply impressed with apprehension of the great dangers to be derived to British America from the hostile invasion of the city of Boston in our sister colony of Massachusetts, deem it highly necessary that the said first day of June be set apart by the members of this House as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, devoutly to implore the divine interposition for averting the heavy calamity which threatens destruction to our civil rights. Ordered, therefore, that the members of this House do attend with the Speaker and the Mace to the church in this city for the purposes aforesaid, and that the Reverend Mr. Price be appointed to read prayers and the Reverend Mr. Gwatkin to preach a sermon. So they said, we're all going to church on this day, and we're going to fast, and we're going to pray, and we're going to listen to a message preached. And what did George Washington write in his diary, June 1st, 1774? Went to church, fasted all day. I know our president recently called for a day of prayer. I appreciate that. I know that there are solemn assemblies that have been held this year and more that are about to be held, where thousands or tens of thousands of believers gather together to pray. But what would happen if, as a nation, we really got serious about this? What would happen if the president and the vice president and all the cabinet said, we are going to church all day today. We're going to be there for hours. We're going to ourselves get on our knees. We're going to confess sins. What if Christian leaders across the nation said, we're going to lead the way in confessing sins? Oh, it's been done before, but not on this level. And who can remember when? I don't remember anything like this in my lifetime, where we really beat our breasts and said, God, we need you. You say, yeah, but you got some psychopathic murderer in Las Vegas. What's that got to do with me? We're sick as a nation. You know, all racial division. I get along fine with my friends. We're sick as a nation. Hurricane, well, it's just global warming, or we don't know the natural or supernatural explanation for the hurricanes, but we know our nation's getting ravaged. Hugh Hefner dies, and you look back at the fruit of the sexual revolution, and you think, oh, man, how did we get from there to here in just 40 or 50 years? America is very sick. I liken it to the patient sitting with his doctor. You'll hear this from me a lot. And the doctor says, you had a serious heart attack. You almost died. And you're very sick. But if you make a radical change to your entire lifestyle, you could be healthier in the days ahead than you've ever been in your whole life. That's where America stands today. Are our prayers making a difference? Have we prayed in such a way that they should make a difference? Are we ready for a great awakening? Are we preparing the way for great awakening? Join with me. Let's seek God together. I want to open up the phones, take your calls on the other side of the break, 866-34-TRUTH. And friends, if you are blessed by what we're doing, if you are encouraged by what we're doing, if you're helped by what we're doing, stand with us today. We do all of this with your support. If you're watching on YouTube, we've got an important message for you. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884, the number to call. I want to give you hope in the midst of the seriousness. You know, I've written, it's over 30 books now. And I love writing. I write every day. I write day and night. I'm consumed with writing in a holy and blessed way. And writing a book, some take longer than others. Some books I've worked on for years. Some I've written in a matter of weeks. But from the time you start writing it to the time you're done with it and all the editing, and you're kind of ready to get the book out at that point. And you don't even want to see it for a little while because you've edited it and gone through it again with the proofreading and back and forth and sharpen this and what about this. And so went through the whole process. And then started to read parts of Saving a Sick America. Again, that's my newest book. If you don't have it yet, get it on Amazon or any of your local bookstores or on our website. So I started going through it again, and I started to get encouraged by what I wrote. The stories, the anecdotes, the quotes from the past. The last chapter of the book, The Church's Great Opportunity, I preached on that theme the last two Sundays, previous Sunday in Atlanta, Sunday before that in Franklin, Tennessee. And lines of people getting the book, but thanking me for the hope, thanking me for the encouragement. I'm just being very serious about what it's going to take to really see awakening. There's a hunger. There's a thirst. We don't earn it. Just look at it like this. We're making room. We're making room for the presence and the glory and the power of God. We're making room in our own lives. If we're not hungry, we can't be filled. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start in Richmond, Virginia. But with Martha, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Martha. All right, let's go to Deborah in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. You are talking my heart. I thank God that there is a remnant out there that is praying, and you know that very well, because without that, there wouldn't be a hope. But yes, I fear. People are so full, like you said, they're so full. And even people that I've been witnessing to for years, even in their woundedness, damage happens to them, but then they turn to carnal comforts. You tell them about the Lord and the light comes on, but then they turn, and as long as they're able to fill themselves with these carnal comforts, they're like, we don't need the Lord. Thanks for praying for me. I'm glad he's there if I need him again, but thank God for the remnant, and I just cry out to the Lord for the awakening, because we need that kind that's going to bring that conviction like we've heard about, that brings that tangible conviction where people just come, where it's the Holy Spirit, not us trying to convince someone how much they need God. It's going to have to come by the Spirit, or it's going to have to come by even greater tragedy, and that's why the intercessors are needed to pray for God's mercy, that it will come by outpouring rather than tragedy.
Deborah, I so resonate with what you're saying and the passion in your heart. And I was just looking at an article here, Trending Thoughts and Prayers, hashtag mocks conservative responses to Vegas shooting. Mm-hmm. And the very thing that America needs, Americans are mocking.
Yes.
And like you say, tragedy comes, and we look to carnal answers, carnal comforts, and it's like you're depressed, so you have another drink, and all that does is make things worse. But the good news is this. Many are praying with desperation. There have been multiplied thousands and thousands praying around the clock for years for God to have mercy on our nation. There are many others who are broken up as you are, praying with tears for friends, for neighbors. And you see, Deborah, when you reach out as you have been doing, that's when you encounter even more some of the resistance that's out there. Many times when we stay in our own religious church bubble, we lose sight of how hard many people are, and yet others know that something's wrong. And sometimes, you have to remember, revival comes when things are at their deepest, darkest point. And every single night, the light begins to shine at the point of greatest darkness. The darkness begins to dissipate, and then the light begins to shine. So your prayers, your tears, your heart cry, none of this is in vain. Our God is listening. May there be a million Deborahs raised up with same burden, same passion, same brokenness, same heart cry. 866-34-TRUTH. Look at some of these comments here. The trending hashtag thoughts and prayers was formed as a satirical response to mock conservatives who have genuinely offered up their thoughts and prayers. Warmest condolences while I accept NRA money and encourage more shootings, thoughts, and prayers. America needs gun control now, not thoughts and prayers. The former will save lives and the latter is just an empty platitude. Last time I checked, the purpose of thought and prayer was to lead you to valuable action. Thoughts and prayers alone were never enough. Well, no one's saying you pray and do nothing. But let me tell you this. There's nothing more important than you can do than pray. We just haven't really prayed the way we need to pray to see the answers we need to see. Let's go over to Durham, North Carolina. Clay, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Brother Mike, it's Clay. Wonderful to talk to you again, sir. You know, I've been listening to you talk about this, and, you know, I was listening to the caller before, Miss Deborah. You know, I'm going to tell you what, it's just truly sad. You know, it's not only that we're sick, but it's a broken and wretched thing that is going on. And, you know, we need to be broken for us to just humble ourselves and break down before God and cry about this. Because, I mean, you know, they say it's going to get worse before it gets better. And it's really sad that people are bringing, you know, a bit of praise to what this guy did. I mean, 59 people lost their lives. Several hundred more people were injured.
Who's and, bringing, you know, who's bringing praise to it, though? That I haven't heard.
Well, I mean, didn't you say that one person said, you know, that gave thanks for the guy that did what he did? Or
No. Yeah, Clay, yeah, thank you. No, that was Richard Dawkins mocking Americans for not having more gun control. That was Richard Dawkins sarcastically mocking Southerners and country music people. And no, he was attacking, sir. But yeah, Clay, that's the concern, that things will get worse before they get better. And you have to ask, okay, if this doesn't drive us to our knees, when I say this, look at everything that's happened in the last year. The political divides tearing our country apart. Racial division tearing our country apart. Natural disasters from hurricanes to fires tearing our country apart. Now, the worst mass shooting in our history. I mean, it's almost inconceivable. Almost 60 dead, over 500 wounded by a single gunman with automatic weapons. This should get us to a place of contrition and crying out and seeking God. And yes, where we need to take action, we take action. But God, have mercy on America before it's too late. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what will happen? We'll pray for Las Vegas. Some of us will get motivated. Some of us won't get motivated. The bills will be written. They'll be watered down. They'll fail. The NRA will smother it all with money. And over time, we'll get distracted. We'll move on to the next thing. And then it will happen again and again.
Jimmy Kimmel got emotional, but also scathing attack. Congress, when are you going to do something? When are you going to act? When are you going to do something about gun laws? I am all for debate on gun laws. Let whatever is best for America prevail. I know we're just joined now by our great stations in Texas. I know that there are gun laws in Texas which are very liberal compared to some parts of the Northeast United States. And you say, yeah, and that's why we have less problems. We don't have these gun-free zones and people get massacred and so on and so forth. I'm perfectly happy for the debate to happen and let the best look. Can we all agree whatever is best for the most Americans, whatever is safest for the most Americans, let it be. But to me, the bigger issue is we haven't really prayed. We haven't really sought God. We haven't really cried out. We haven't really humbled ourselves. We go through the motions. If we will really humble ourselves and seek the face of God, He will have mercy on our nation. Welcome to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Hey, can I encourage every one of you to take a moment and subscribe to my YouTube channel? It's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on YouTube. So youtube.com/AskDrBrown, Ask Dr. Brown videos. youtube.com/AskDrBrown videos. If you are watching on YouTube right now, our live stream, make sure you subscribe before you go. If you're listening on radio, as soon as you have a moment, or you can go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and just click on the YouTube icon to subscribe. Can I give you a picture of the atmosphere in the midst of revival and outpouring? Can I give you a picture of hunger and thirst? Matt, grab our clip where I'm preaching and doing an altar call in Pensacola in the midst of a great outpouring. Every night we saw thousands of people getting right with God. Over the course of a week, thousands getting right with God, many hundreds each night. Some first-time converts getting radically saved, and I know many of them today following Jesus with passion. Others, believers who had fallen away and were backslidden. Others, believers who had compromise in their lives but were looking like they were following the Lord. People weeping, getting right with God night after night after night. And it wasn't emotional hype. It was a genuine response to the conviction of the Spirit and people saying, God, have mercy on me. I've sinned against you. We saw so many lives transformed. It's what has to happen again. Listen, this is an altar call I'm giving where thousands responded with a deep cry of repentance before God.
I want you to get to this altar right now from all over this building. I don't want you to wait for a minute. And when you get down, get on your knees and begin to cry out to God. Begin to lift your voice to God. Begin to lift your voice to God. Come down. Come down from the balcony. Find a place. Get up close. Get up close. Step out. When it gets filled, fill the aisles. Come on. Oh! I can't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. No one else can do it for you. Come on down from the balcony if you're hungry and thirsty. Step out from the pews.
That was a picture of a service. You say, was it just emotion? No, because people were impacted for years after that. It doesn't always have to come with that kind of expression. And it doesn't have to come with thousands of people responding in a public service. But I want to urge you, my friend, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, now's the time to pray with desperation. God, have mercy on our nation. I want to shout from the rooftops, it's not too late for America. It's not too late for America. But the hour is certainly urgent. How will we respond? It starts with you. It starts with me. We'll be right back with my friend, James Robison.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining with us today. The last half hour, I played a clip, and I had to hold myself together coming back on the air. It's a clip from the country music concert in Vegas about an hour before the shooting, where the group is leading everyone in singing God Bless America, and then the massacre. And you think, oh my God, is it because we're so distant from him and we're praying for blessing that we can't have it? How do these things happen? Painful real life, obviously the only antidote for our pain, for our suffering, is found in the Lord right now. And I'm so glad to have on the line with me my dear friend James Robison. James, you've lived through more years than I have. You're my senior. You've seen a lot of suffering and pain in our history, but we're hurting right now as a nation in a very deep way, aren't we?
And we are. And I think we really have to look beyond the pain and the suffering to see what in the world must we hear. And I did share that with those natural disasters, that we could still, if we would listen, hear wisdom from God. And what you can see, we do see the suffering. We see the horror. We see pure evil, as the president said. That means not just deceived or distracted by evil, but dedicated to, sold out to it, and controlled by it, which can happen to any person when they do not resist and when they do not depend upon God for strength to overcome. But as we see that evil, we also see the power of love, compassion, cooperation, unity, personal sacrifice with both the hurricanes and the great acts of love, bravery, and sacrifice. Now, here's the key. Much of what we're seeing today is the result of us not having that spirit of love, unity, concern, cooperation, courage to address every issue we face. So it seems to me that in the midst of all of this we don't understand, we can see clearly what matters, what makes a real, meaningful lasting difference, and that's love, sacrifice, compassion, commitment, and unity. So, Dr. Brown, why don't we join Jesus praying for that kind of unity, praying for that kind of oneness with the heart of a Father who loves us and loves us perfectly and who can show us how to work through these challenges. And if we would work together on the challenges that are not natural disasters, but oftentimes man-made catastrophic events, because we didn't come to the table of reason and cooperation and unity in the presence of wisdom. So I'm telling you that it is possible. How does someone not discern the activity? You know, without being ridiculous, it would seem to me, and I think, to be honest with you, those who understand the importance of the Second Amendment, the last person on earth they want to have dangerous, deadly weapons in the hands of is one that's unstable. When someone is buying as much as he was buying, someone, for heaven's sake, should have noticed and questioned. I mean, it's almost as though we are oblivious to what's going on around us. Mm. If we were more sensitive and spiritual and connected to God, I think we would have greater discernment. If we would work together with the same dedication and love we work with after a disaster, we might be able to prevent many of the disasters and catastrophic events.
Yeah, James, I'm looking at articles right now on the stream. And friends, if you're not there regularly, this is the go-to place, stream.org, to really try to get the heart and mind of God in the midst of what's happening in the world around us. I'm looking at an article by Tom Gilson, Fragmented, Divided, How Would We Stand Up to a National Attack? And then Liberty McCarter, Stand Together as One, Route 91 Country Music Stars React After Las Vegas Shooting. So what happens now is we have a tragedy, and then we fragment some more. We get into a debate about gun laws and then mocking the people that are praying and everyone pointing fingers, whereas you're saying this is the time to come together, and I've been saying this is the time to get on our knees before God. It's two sides of the same coin. What's it going to take for America to hear? I mean, we're getting ripped apart, racial division and tension and strife, political divisions, the hurricanes ravaging us, this mass shooting shaking us. What's it going to take to get our attention to really cry out to God and come together?
Well, let's stop doing the opposite of coming together, where we name call, we accuse, we blast, we attack. It's vicious. We label and nullify the effect of others by calling them some kind of a name that other people react to or don't like. Stop the nonsense. You call a child a name, you make fun of a child in your family, you've damaged that child for life, you possibly turn them into someone that is very dangerous. Stop the name calling. Stop calling the president or other leaders in the country names. Stop calling people who happen to be of a different persuasion or a different color or a different race. Stop the nonsense. It leads to nothing but division, dissension, and death, ultimately, and destruction. Stop it. Just stop it. And to the people who pray, keep asking God in faith to move the mountainous problems that we have between people. Pray for us to be able to come together and love one another, not because we're having to be forced to try to rescue one another or protect someone from horrible assault, but coming together to stand as a family together against all that is damaging and dangerous. And when you pray, after we pray, don't start telling God how to answer your prayers. And don't start choosing who he must or must not use. Most of us as believers would have nullified more than half the characters in the Bible as unqualified and unfit to do anything of divine or supernatural importance. So stop telling God how to answer your prayers.
Yeah, loud and clear on all of that. Someone sent me a note, James, and it was about an executive with CBS that had said, well, I don't really have sympathy for these victims, and, you know, just kind of, it was an ugly thing. The person got fired immediately, and there was a discussion about posting the comment. I said, I don't want to stir up anger right now. All that's going to do is stir up anger against an individual, and we've got to be redemptive. It's so easy to, who are we fighting? Why are we fighting when we desperately need God and each other? James, you and I both live with great hope, but we are absolute realists. We could give a bad report as well as anyone could. We could talk about why it's too late for America and everyone's depressed, and yet we don't believe that's the case. To really see an awakening, though, are we at the edge? Are we close, or are we still way too complacent to be ready for a great awakening?
I want to ask everyone to follow the example that God miraculously got me to follow. I happen to know about 10 of the people who ran for the highest office in the land, some of them lifetime friends. Many of them I have great respect for. The individual that ends up getting the momentum would have been my last choice, not a choice. But when I saw that's where we were headed, I did one thing. I did what God told me to do. I loved unconditionally. And I prayed for an opportunity to help someone that I didn't care for and that I wouldn't have chosen. And I spent over a year with him and with his family. And I am watching God miraculously cause a man who spent most of his life being very successful in building everything around his own personal interests and even selfish interests. I am now watching a man who has a very deep, undeniable, genuine concern for the well-being of every American. I watched him a few moments ago in Puerto Rico. I watched those beautiful people so excited that he and Melania and others would come down there and just care about them. And it was so obvious. We're so grateful. It was more than starstruck. Here's someone in the midst of our pain. And then much of the media and people will step back. They will mock him. They will make fun of him. This man seldom rests. He is tireless. He is fearless. And here's the thing that I know, because I did just exactly what I'm advising the listeners to do. I moved beyond my opinion. I obeyed God. I began to pray for someone I had no intention of voting for. And I prayed for him, and God put me into his life to talk to him. And I am absolutely amazed at what I'm watching. When he called for prayer and quoted the psalm and made the references he did, when he was in no way trying to appear religious, when he was speaking about what happened in Las Vegas, I saw a man where the genuineness of what's going on in his own personal heart was now beginning to come out of his mouth, like the overflow of his heart as I looked at his countenance in Melania and watched the way he responded and just spent time loving people. Why under heaven can't we quit criticizing one another and start believing God for the miracles he promises to deliver in response to prayer and faith? I am begging people to ask God, trust God, and hold on to God, and love him and love your neighbor. Herein is all the law fulfilled in a word. Let's do it. I am so excited about what I'm watching God do. If God can move in the life of Donald Trump and his family, he can move in the life of anyone.
My friends, loud and clear, James, it's an honor to have you with us. Thank you. Keep speaking. Keep calling us to pray and calling us to love and unity. Amen.
God bless.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of the Line of Fire broadcast. So glad to have you as our listeners, as our viewers, as our callers. So glad to have you reading and sharing our articles. A few folks sent me a note that my article yesterday, Only God Can Heal Our Land, was quoted in an editorial on USA Today. People are reading and hearing, and that's why we're doing our best to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. In a moment, in fact, I'll tell you how you can stand with us and help us reach even more people. But let me paint a picture for you. If you'll go through Scripture, you'll see consistently God fills the hungry. God satisfies the thirsty. He doesn't give promises to those who are full of themselves. It's rather the broken in heart that he revives. Isaiah 57:15 tells us that the high and lofty one stoops down, so to say, to revive those who are broken and lowly. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that it's the poor in spirit that have the kingdom of God. It's those who are hungry and thirsty, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who will be filled. I can go on with promise after promise concerning that. So look at it like this. Revival is a great outpouring. Look at it like physical rain. It's a great outpouring of the soaking, drenching rain. The land is parched. The land is dry. The crops are not growing. The cattle, they're dying. The people are dying. This is a picture, say, from ancient Israel. And we desperately need rain to come. And when the rain comes, because the ground is so hungry and so thirsty, it saturates it, and it saturates it. And you make irrigation channels, and you preserve the water however you can, because now it's going to give a life-giving effect for years ahead. But if that same water was poured out on concrete, on a massive concrete field 100 miles wide, the water would just, it has nowhere to go. It can't be absorbed. So that's my concern right now in the church in America. We're not sufficiently hungry. We're not sufficiently thirsty to welcome a visitation of the Spirit. And we're still, many of us, complacent because, after all, I wasn't shot or killed. Family member wasn't shot or killed in Vegas. And my house came out right after the hurricane. And my family's doing well. And job is good. Kids are healthy. And I'm glad for all that. But where's the hunger? Where's the thirst? Where's the desperation for the nation? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Monty in Granger, Iowa. Thanks for holding, Monty. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your work, and I thank you for having James Robeson on as often as you do.
Yes.
want to bring forth the scripture of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and emphasize to us that we call ourselves Christians that it says, if my people will humble themselves. And once again, you've been emphasizing that, and I think that's so important.
Yeah.
That we, as individual Christians, if we just do our jobs, we would do it. That's what happened with Wesley and Whitfield to save Great Britain. That's what happened with Owens before the Revolutionary War. That's what happened with Finney before the Civil War. That's even what happened with Stonewall Jackson and his soldiers during the Civil War. They all humbled themselves and brought their prayers and needs before an almighty God, and he worked marvels in all those situations. And we, our people, my people, if we just do what we're supposed to do, God would move.
Yeah, Monty, I love the historical examples you gave. If we had time to expand on all of them, they're really quite extraordinary. And we cannot apply 2 Chronicles 7:14 in just a broad way to America as a whole, which is not what you're doing. So I want to make that clear. You're doing it the right way. Yeah. We can't apply it to America as a whole because America is not Israel. America, even though we made a covenant with God, with the founding fathers and things like that, and the colonists, we're still not the nation that was chosen out as God's own possession on the earth and so on. So for sure, we cannot make the national application and say, well, America, that's God's people. But we can certainly say God's people within America, we are his people. And when we make up such a large percentage of the population, tens and tens of millions of Americans are believers. If we would humble ourselves and pray, the nation as a whole would be affected. Many would resist, many would rebel, but many others would melt and repent and would get right with God. And Monty, during the Brownsville revival, Steve Hill gave me a book. And the book came out under different titles. I think the title I have is This Freedom Whence. I think that was the title. But another title was England Before and After Wesley. Wesley lived 1703 to 1791, and then George Whitfield, his younger colleague, great revivalist, also in the States, lived 1714 to 1770. And Whitfield used both in the United Kingdom and in America, and Wesley used in England. In fact, when Wesley came to America as a missionary to convert the heathen, he realized he wasn't converted, went back home, and never came back to America. But it's striking.
Praise God for the Moravians.
Yes, absolutely. I knew you knew that history too. So John Wesley has this incredible conversion, May 24th, 1738. His heart is strangely warmed. He gets transformed, and it ends up having a transforming effect on England. And there are quotes in this book from British leaders in the late 1700s, in the 1800s, even in the 1900s. And they're talking about the transforming of the nation of England and then even things that trickled over to America. So you can only understand that if you understand Wesley and the Methodist revival. And one other thing, I had a friend who went to a very liberal secular college. Her professor was an atheist communist, all right? And there was a question, it was a history class, and the question was, why wasn't England marked with the violence of the French Revolution? Why did you have an incredibly violent, bloody revolution in France, and yet England had social transformation without that? The correct answer for an atheist communist professor was because of the Methodist revival, because of John Wesley and the Methodist revival. Society can be changed. This is our great need, awakening, turning to God. And if we'll do it, starting with you, starting with me, light a fresh fire in my life, Lord. Renew me in repentance. Restore me to my first love. Give me a fresh burden for lost and dying world, a love for you, a love for my neighbor. If we'll start living it out, we can see change come. Monty, thank you for the call. I appreciate what you shared. And obviously, it's a great theme in my book, Saving a Sick America. Friends, right now, you're listening to me. Some of you are watching. Some of you will watch the broadcast when it's posted later on YouTube. But for those who don't know, we are broadcasting live every single day, a live stream on YouTube where you can watch the show. If you're hearing an audio clip, you'll actually see a video clip in many cases and other features on the screen, a chat room going on at the same time. If you haven't visited there, do so. But we're able to do that because of your help. We have an amazing core team. You'd be amazed how few people are doing so much. But we've been able to do this, and now a whole new platform to reach many more people through your gracious support. So if you're watching on YouTube, look on your screen right now, and here's how you can stand with us. There is a GoFundMe link, and if you're listening, just jot it down, would you? GoFundMe.com/AskDr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown Studio. GoFundMe.com/AskDr. Brown Studio. Stand with us today. Every gift makes a difference, and you're helping us reach many, many more people. I want to say it again. The hour is urgent, but it's not too late for America.